Hi, this is English with Lena, English A1. I am an English coach and I've been working as a language teacher for more than 22 years. Remember that I give one-to-one lessons to students and professionals around the world. You can get my PDF book called When You Rescued Me, inspired by my dog, Shorty. Well, let's get started. Today, I would like to share a very intimate personal story, as I always do, but my main purpose is that of encouraging young kids, teenagers, especially people of all ages as well, if this, hits very close to home, to be strong and determined, to have the guts to stand up for your rights, to not to let anyone put you down, and be always careful with the kind of people you get involved with, and try to read the signals. Because the signals are always there, but sometimes we are just blindsided and we do not really want to see what's evident. But I want to go back in time, let's say when I was perhaps 26 or 27 years old. And of course, like I shared with you in other podcasts, I had had a very, conflicting, tumultuous relationship with different members of my family. And so, I had always felt r lonely and misunderstood. So, and like I also shared with you in other episodes, I've always chosen the wrong man, and maybe didn't understand what true love was and what true affection was. And back then, I just needed someone to be by my side and to make me feel like a woman. Because I was trapped in this body, and it was just only me who was able to understand myself, and that's why I suffered a lot in silence for many, many years. So I had met this man who happened to be a Marine, and it all happened, unexpectedly, which is I don't remember even how we met, and but we met and we began dating. I remember that once I invited him home, so he came over. He knew that I was a language teacher, so he wanted me to give him some lessons. So I let him in. Which was one thing that my parents didn't like because I think that an hour later they came back. My parents had gone out in the afternoon. When they came back, they found him in the living room with me. For them, it was kind of like unexpected and pretty uncomfortable because obviously he was a stranger to them. And of course, I didn't mind introducing him to my parents, but the face of my dad, the look on his face was just, oh my God. So he said, hello, nice to meet you. And my dad was really pissed off that I had let a stranger in. And well, he didn't reply back. And well, so one more anecdote, right? So, well, things happened, so then I openly explained to him that, this kind of rejection that my boyfriend sensed back then was something evident and that I could not really control. I had no control over. So I asked him to understand. He was very understanding. I think that things happened in my family. I had such a huge argument with my dad. I cannot recall exactly what the argument was about, but well, he kicked me out of the house, and of course, I had nowhere to go. And the first person I called was my boyfriend back then, the Marine, and he was, somehow helpful and told me, hey, I don't mind you coming over and, you know, staying with me. So up until that point, I had never gone to his place. I didn't know where he lived. So he sent me the address. I took a taxi cab and I, you know, headed for his apartment in a place, in a district here in the city, which is somehow dangerous. It's pretty unsafe. The crime rate in that district is pretty high. But, well, I had nowhere to go. So, well, that was my only one choice. So I showed up at a store. He was very welcome in, of course. I had, I think, a couple of bags with clothes only. And, well, and I ended up being there for almost a year. Yes, for almost a year, I lived with him. And my living with him was just, well, a mixture of different feelings. At first, it was all, you know, great because I was with the man who I thought I loved for real and who I thought loved me for real. I was really attracted to him. I felt some kind of love for him and respect for him. He was a professional too, and independent, and hardworking. Well, anyway, those are features that I look for in a man and that I always look up to. So everything was just great. I mean, he was such a great lover, you know. Sex was fantastic, intense. I didn't complain at all, and he didn't either. But as months passed, I felt something was off. He began coming up with things like, you know, baby, I will have to be on duty Friday and over the weekend, and I'll be coming back on Monday morning. So I don't want you to be alone here in the apartment and all by yourself. So why don't you just go and visit your friends for the weekend? And, you know, it's, you don't need to stay here and wait for me. At first I said, well, I don't mind, baby. I can be here. I can clean up. I can do a lot of things. I mean, don't worry about me. Okay. But the following weekends he insisted. And I thought to myself, well, what's wrong with me visiting friends and staying at my best friend's house for the weekends? So I remember that one time I said, well, fine. Okay, yeah, you're right. I have a girlfriend and I would like to see her. I haven't seen her for months. So, okay, I'll spend the weekend there. And, well, so I did. I called my friend up and I told her I was on my way and if it was all right for me to stay over the weekend till Sunday night. And, well, I had fun with my girlfriend. You know, we went out for lunch. You know, we had a very, very good time. I remember that on that Saturday night, my friend and I grabbed a couple of wines from a grocery store and we headed for her apartment and we just began, you know, drinking, you know. It was like a spur of the moment thing. So it was fine. We opened up, we shared our stories, and that's when I opened up and told her, hey, you know what? Yes, my boyfriend is like this. He's like such a hardworking man and sex is great. And, you know, usual girl talk, you know. But then when I explained to her that he had somehow insisted that I, you know, leave the apartment and go and see my friends or my family, that was somehow like a red flag that she was able to see, but I couldn't. At least I hadn't seen it up until then. So my friend warned me to be careful. She asked me, what if he is cheating on you? What if he is right now in the apartment with somebody else while you're here and you are buying all his stories, all the be on duty stories? I think I would not be that, trusting. If I were you, I would take a cab and go straight to the apartment right now. And if there's nobody there, okay, everything's fine. And I said, but why are you telling me this, this? I mean, I'm okay. I love him and he's really hardworking. We're always texting each other throughout the day and he supports his family. And I don't think he is doing anything wrong. I don't think he is being unfaithful. And well, she said, well, go ahead and find it out by yourself. I think it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning when I took a taxi cab and went back to the apartment where my boyfriend and I lived. And to my surprise, when I was about to open the door, I was able to hear some kind of, moaning coming from the room. And I was paralyzed. It was evident that he was with a woman and they were having sex. Of course, for my own sake and protection, I decided not to open that damn door and confront them both. So I walked away and I hid myself at the end of the hall on the same floor, and I waited patiently until everything was done, until they finished their thing. And I sat down on that freezing floor, crying in silence. And I didn't know what to think and what to make of it. I felt used and I felt insulted. I felt aggravated. I felt disappointed because all this time, the only thing that I did was to love him, respect him, and to help him as well. I had helped him pay for the apartment's rent for 5 months straight, and he hadn't paid a penny on the rent, so he was able to save for 5 or 6 months, more or less, all the money that he was supposed to spend on rent. He was just filling his pocket. And that's when he took advantage of it, of the situation, of my paying the rent for 5 or 6 months. And he was using his own money and spending it on women and, outings and going to clubs and bars and going to hotels with girls. Well, that morning, I think it was about 6 o'clock when I was still sitting on that, freezing floor crying, when I heard that the door was open and they left the apartment holding hands together. When I heard the gate of the apartment building close, I rushed to the balcony and I was able to see them both holding hands and walking to the bus stop. He was taking her to the bus stop so she could take, a taxi back home. I was devastated, of course. So I decided to leave the apartment building and go back to my friend's house, and I hated to say that she was right, and of course she was pretty supportive back then, and she gave me the emotional support that I needed. But I was already torn. I was already broken. And weeks later, because I had decided not to confront him, I acted as though nothing had happened, as though I had not witnessed anything. I tried to play cool, so he didn't suspect anything. But he would always carry this flash drive with him to work, always. And I remember there were a couple of days when he had left the flash drive on the shelf, and he had left, and a minute later he would rush back in and say, "Oh my God, I left my flash drive. Oh, here it is. Okay, no, I've got like really important confidential files here, so I can't leave this here." Oh, okay, baby. So I didn't suspect of anything back then, but then I said, why? Why is he so worried about it? It's just a flash drive. And if he's got files there, I mean, they must be, codified and have secret passwords so no one could, break them up and things like that. Well, anyway, so one of those days, he had left that flash drive on the shelf where he always put it, but he didn't come back. So apparently he had forgotten that he had left the flash drive there. He hadn't realized that he hadn't put it in his pocket. So I decided to take that flash drive, and I went to an internet booth, and I began to, sneak into all those files. When finally, I opened one, which was full of intimate videos of him having sex with a girl in a hotel. And that was just it. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. I was betrayed. I felt like the stupidest person in the world. And I said, well, I think it's about time to confront him. And I remember that the next day when he came back, I confronted him. I was really, really, really devastated, frustrated, overwhelmed. And so I began crying. I began questioning his behavior, his attitude. I remember saying, "Why did you do this to me? If you didn't love me, you should have been honest. Why did you bring me here? It was all just about the money, all about the rent, all about helping you with your finances. That's just not fair. You're having fun on your side while I am here, and I had felt that something's off for quite a while, and I cannot believe you right now." And well, I remember that he tried to deny it all, and he pushed me to the wall, and he attempted to strangle me. I thought he was going to kill me. I thought he was going to kill me. I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I remember that I made a great effort to take a deep breath and said, he was still grabbing me from my neck, like really pressing hard. And I remember saying, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Please let me go. Let me go. I can't breathe. You're gonna kill me. You're gonna kill me." And I think somehow was able to talk some sense into him, he let me go. I was on the floor crying, scared. And I think that she let me, he let me go because there was a neighbor that overheard the noise and screams. And it was an old woman who abruptly opened the door of her apartment and said, "What's going on here? Hey, let him go, let him go." You know, and he was scared and he left the apartment building and I was in shock. I was paralyzed. I was crying. I remember that as he walked out the apartment building, I yelled at him, "You're gonna regret having tried to kill me. You're gonna regret having done this to me." He didn't come back that night, and I stayed there in the apartment. But I was already, you know, tired, sick and tired of everything. And I remember that I destroyed everything that I could in the apartment. I broke the TV set and the stereo, and I broke the dishes and saucers. I remember I stabbed a knife into the mattress and, you know, I ripped it off, and I was out of control. I was mad, really, really mad. And then I left. The next day he called me and asked me, "Why did I do that? Why did I destroy everything in the apartment? That there was no need for me to do that." And I remember saying that was the least thing I could do, because she deserved it. And that was the last time I ever spoke with him. Betrayal can be really painful. But there are signals throughout the relationship that we should be able to read. When we are in a relationship and when love is unconditional, no one has the right to ask you for things, to tell you what to do and how to do things. When someone loves you, you become their world. They integrate you into their lives, which he did not do because he hadn't come out of the closet, and he hadn't come out. So it was difficult, but I was happy getting the little thing that he was only able to give me. And that's why I want to advise you all not to accept, you know, little things. When you love someone, you give your all to that person. You open up and you give your best to that person without limit. You integrate them into your lives. You introduce your friends to them. Of course, you both need to have your own space. That's true. But one thing has nothing to do with, "Hey, you are my boyfriend, you are my girlfriend, and my friends should meet you." You cannot be hidden in the darkness all the time, and that's what happened to me. He abused me. But I have to say that I somehow let him do that. Somehow I let him abuse me. He manipulated me. He used me. He betrayed me. And I'm sharing this story with you because if you are in a relationship where you do not feel safe, where you do not feel protected or corresponded, get out of there. It's going to be painful, but get out of there before it's too late. When I went through that kind of pain with that boyfriend, I had no one to run to. I didn't have a brother or a sister to talk with, to tell them, hey, this is what's happening to me. This man tried to kill me. Up to this point, nobody in my family knows that that man was about to kill me that night. But thanks to that neighbor, to that old woman who opened the door, who overheard the screams, my screams, he stopped. So, try to always seek for help. Seek for help. Talk to someone. Open up. And everything will be all right.